I was born in a Dublin street where the loyal drums did beat, and the loving English beat, they drummed all over us. And every single night that me father came home tight, he'd invite the neighbours outside with his chorus.
Come out, gentle looking pan, come out and fight me like a man. Show your wife how you want nettles down in Flanders.
The
IRA, Native
Unlake,
hell away, from the
green
and lovely lanes of
Kilishanda. Come let me hear you tell how you slammed the brave Parnell, when you thought them well and truly persecuted. Where are the sneers and jeers that you bravely let us hear, when our leaders of 16 were executed?
Come out, you blackened tans, come out and fight me like a man.
Show your wife how you won Neville down in Flanders.
Now,
how
the IRA
major
run like hell away,
jumping
between the lovely lanes of
Killin' Chamber. Alan Larkin and O'Brien, how you bravely called them swine. Robert Emmett, who you hung and threw in water. I upon the scaffold high, how you murdered Henry Joy, and our grubby boys in Wexford, you the slaughter.
Come out, gentle like a man, come out and fight me like a man. Show your wife how you want Neville's down in Flanders. Ah, how the IRA made you run like hell away, from the green and lovely lanes of Kilishanda.
Fast, and the time is nearly past, when each Shawnee will be cast aside before us. And if there be a need, then we kids will say Godspeed, with a bar or two of Stephen Bean's fall.
Come out, gentlemen, pan, come out, fight me like a man. Show your wife how you want nettles down in Flanders.
How the IRA made you run like hell away, in the lovely lanes of Killin' Chamber. Well, hello, my white brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Irish episode of the Creativity Power Hour. I'm your host, Reverend Hardy Lloyd, Pontifex Maximus of the Church of Ben Clausen, an all-around asshole. the IRA. I was actually supposed to do this yesterday, but... let me turn that down. I was supposed to do this yesterday. Yesterday was Irish Day or White Day or Paddy's Day, whatever you want to use. There's only two holidays, that official holidays in the United States that actually celebrate white people. That's Columbus Day for the Italians and Paddy's Day for the Irish. Of course, you know, white is white for us creators. So I'm going to talk about Lone Wolf. That's right. What better day to talk about the Lone Wolf than in celebration of the IRA? This is something our comrades and brothers and sisters in England don't understand, is why we over in America and in South America as well are so pro-IRA and so pro-Irish. The Irish have been, white people obviously are instrumental everywhere, but the Irish section of the white race was very instrumental in both North and South America. Hopefully you can hear me. I hope the music isn't too loud. Anyway, so the Irish played a significant role in rebelling against Spain in Latin America. A lot of people don't realize that there was a lot of Irish immigrated to South America when. There was two points to this. One was during the Secessionary War. A lot of other white people did immigrate to South America because, you know, the fighting that was going on up north. And there was another era of Irish immigration south instead of to North America, but I forget what years that encompasses. But there's a lot of Irish. There's it's not uncommon to go down. I mean, obviously there's a huge white population in Latin America, but it's not uncommon to actually run into a fucking brown skinned mestizo who has an Irish or a last name. So it's kind of interesting. Anyway, so I figured today on, I don't know, which one's this? Let's see. It's a street in a troubled land. There we go. Let's see. This one kind of sucks. Hold on. Let's see if we can hear a little of this. It's probably not going to translate well. Over. Okay, anyway. So there we go. There's a little IRA music. So yeah, so today we're going to talk about, I'm not division. I'm not going to say white Irish are better than other Irish or white Irish are better than white Italians. I'm just saying that this is, that the IRA shows us how to fight against the jog, because the IRA was fighting against the jog over in England. You have to understand is that every country that we don't control is part of the jog. That's for people that are new to white racial loyalty. I mean, you old timers know what I'm talking about. But so when I say the jog, that just refers to any Jew controlled government, which outside of Russia, that's pretty much all of them. Okay, except for Uruguay, I guess, and perhaps Argentina and Chile to an extent. I guess one could say also Japan, but very few countries are actually not controlled by the Jews, and so obviously, you know, the jog pretty much represents all infidel controlled countries. Well, I mean, technically Russia's infidel, but Russia is fighting back against the jog. So today I want to talk about lone wolf and lone wolf activism. This is something that I promoted when I first got started, you know, back when I was 8 or 9 years old, back when I was 8, when I became racially conscious. You know, I had studied, you know, when I was, you know, 8, 10, 12, 14 years old, I studied a lot of, you know, the early history of the Mormons, how the Mormons had to fight back against tyranny, how the Irish did that. You know, it's kind of just when you grow up in the Americas, you just learn a lot of this revolutionary stuff. And, you know, and you don't have to be a Yank in order to have a revolutionary spirit or a revolutionary history. Mormons have that. Remember, I was raised Mormon. I wasn't raised American. Well, I mean, I've lived in a few different countries, but I wasn't raised as American or Canadian or St. Lucian or Puerto Rican. I wasn't raised those. I was raised Mormon. So it didn't matter where I lived. I was raised Mormon. And Mormons, although they don't teach this as much as I would like, but the LDS sect, which is the vast majority of my family's LDS Mormon, although our people, my family that lives in Mexico, they are traditionalist Mormon. The fundamentalist Mormons, some of them live in Mexico, some in the United States and Canada. I think a majority of them live in the United States. But traditionalist Mormons, I think a majority of them live actually in Mexico. And then the second largest is in the United States, and the third is in Canada. But my family in Mexico is, they're traditionalist Mormon. Anyway, but I was raised LDS, and being just a natural revolutionary myself, you know, I grew up studying about Porter Rockwell and about what happened in Illinois and Missouri and the Mormon militia and the Mormon lone wolves, that the assassination squad that Porter Rockwell controlled. And, you know, went out and fight back against tyranny, you know, plus being of a different culture, being of a different country, I was bullied a lot when I was growing up by the Americans and Canadians. And so, you know, once again, you know, reaching back into my Mormon ancestry and also studying the IRA and whatnot, you know, I just embracing lone wolf and terrorist and revolutionary tactics always was just seemed very natural to me. And to me, terrorism is a natural part of, is a basic tactic of revolution. And, I mean, it's not a negative. Listen, if you ever meet somebody who claims they're a white racial loyalist and they're anti-terrorism, they're anti-murder, they're anti-thievery, they're, you know, thieving against corporations, against Jews, against the jog, you know, killing, you know, mugging niggers, lying to cops. If they're against any of these things, they aren't true white racial loyalists. We have to remember, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and back then, everybody was promoting the lone wolf as a standard tactic, terrorism as a standard tactic. So that's why I don't understand when, ever since 2015, I have seen basically just an infiltration of the white power movement. Once again, we are creators, though our movement is our own thing. I am a part of the movement for the religion of creativity. I am not a part of the white power movement. We are separate from that. That's totally different. But unfortunately, what we have I was kidnapped in 2009 and I came out in 2015, and I just saw kosher conservatives and nationalists and right wingers just all over the place pretending to be white power or infiltrating the white power movement. I didn't understand it. And all these people are like into like elections or patriotism or all this other bullshit. And I didn't understand. I still don't understand it. And, so anybody who promotes things like that, who promotes legality, these people are not, they are not your friends, they are not your comrades, they are not white racial loyalists. If you do not believe in terrorism as a standard tactic of our war of self-preservation and freedom and liberty, then you're a piece of shit as far as I'm concerned. And anybody who comes up to you and says violence is not the answer, either shoot them, beat them up, or don't ever associate with them again. I'm serious. I don't care how white power they come off. If you are anti-using violence, get the fuck away from me. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Now, I'm not saying everybody's got to go out and fucking blow up a synagogue, although that would be nice. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that everybody has to run down the street with a machete like in Mexico and cut people's heads off. I'm not saying that. Obviously, you need to be smart, and not everybody can be a revolutionary. Not everybody can be violent. Listen, I was trying different concoctions to create poison gas, and I was in a cellar that had only one entrance and no windows, and of course, I nearly killed myself. So not everybody's cut out for, violent revolution. But to ignore terrorism and violence and violent revolution as standard of revolution is to ignore reality, or the basic definition of revolution. There's no such thing as a soft revolution. It's bullshit. It's not a revolution. No, revolution is hardcore. And, I grew up studying not just my Mormon ancestry, but also the IRA, as well as, frontiersmen. Once again, Mormons identify a lot with the frontier. Excuse me. And, studying Texas, the Republic of Texas, studying Confederate militia, Confederate guerrillas, the Whiskey Rebellion, studying the revolutions of Latin America, studying Cuba and Vietnam and even the Bolsheviks, I realized that the only way you win is through violence and through being so violent that your enemy fears you more than they fear themselves, more than they fear their own people. This is why I always tell people, I say, listen, when you kill someone who's a cop or a rabbi or a CEO or a banker or a businessman or a judge or an FBI agent, you kill their family too. You target their family so that the next person that gets hired for the job will be like, you know what? I think I'm going to leave these skinheads alone. In fact, I'm going to quit. I'm not going to join the FBI. I'm sorry. Because they're terrified, because they know their families are going to be targeted. And if the fucker isn't married with kids or doesn't have kids or doesn't have a wife, then you go after his next of kin. You fucking target these people like the Viet Cong did, Shea was actually Shea actually didn't do any revolution. He's a propaganda piece. Castro was an actual revolutionary. Shea's bullshit. He's a fake. Lenin, Stalin, Mao, these people, although they were fighting for Jewry, for communism, for the Kahila, the tactics are right. And I've said this for, over 30 years. I've been saying this ever since I was a kid, is that if you want to have a revolution, you have to have violence and terrorism to go along with it. And you need to make your enemies fear you more than they fear reprisals from their own people, their own government. So that's why when you do target an FBI agent or a pig or, a Jagite or a Jew, what you do is you then go after their immediate family. That way the next person down the block is like, I'm not going to help the cops. I'm not going to join the police or be a snitch. And my whole family will be killed. They'll burn my house down. That's how you win the war. You terrorize your opponent. And we should be doing this. What the IRA did back in the teens and 20s, that's the right way to do it. And a lot of our people in England just don't understand why we support the IRA so much. I've never met a skinhead, ever, who didn't support the IRA. This is a very American thing. And by American, I mean the Western Hemisphere. This is a very violent revolution. Terrorism are just something. It's like the Middle East. It's just, you know, and Asia. It's just something that goes hand in glove with being alive. And, you know, the libtards, kosher conservatives, you know, systemites, jogites, they don't understand. Unless they're using terrorism against other people, which is what they do a lot, they just don't understand it. And it's really bizarre when somebody does detonate a bomb or kill somebody in broad daylight. It's really weird to see people in the United States and Canada freaking out over. I'm like, this is Earth. You do realize you're on Earth, right? I mean, terrorism and bombings and assassinations just happen all the time everywhere on the planet. You're going to tell me just because it happened for the first time in, say, 2 years in your city that somehow that's like some major, oh my God, moment? It's just really bizarre. I don't understand this. And maybe it's because I am a creator or autistic and I view myself as living on the planet. I don't view myself as living in Texas or PA or West Virginia or Utah or New England or Toronto. I don't view myself as living in a particular province or city or county or country. I view myself as living on Earth. And terrorism is just a part of everyday life on Earth. We are humans, after all. We are a very violent species. Nothing wrong with that. Natural. Just the way we are. So anyone who comes at you and says that terrorism and violence isn't the answer, or says that it needs to be selective and not so extreme, fuck that motherfucker. Get rid of them. Distance yourself from them. They don't really believe in white racial loyalty. They don't believe in white preservation. Fuck them in the asshole of the big rubber dick. I don't understand. I've been preaching violence ever since I was like 8-10 years old, man. And it's natural. As I said, I grew up reading about Porter Rockwell. I grew up reading about the Mormon militia. I grew up reading about Texas, about the IRA, about the American Revolution, about the hillbillies of Appalachia, the whiskey rebellers, the Confederate guerrillas. This is what I grew up reading about. And of course, South American revolutionaries too. What was that? What was that one Irishman? I think it was O'Rourke or something. Not O'Rourke. Yeah, that was Ireland. Fuck, what was the dude's name? I forget. There was an Irish guy who fought for the independence of Colombia, Venezuela, and Bolivia. I forget his name. He was this great like Irish leader. And he's been sidetracked by because he's white. And the mestizos down there wanted somebody who was brown instead of a white person. So his name kind of gets pushed to the backside. But if you grew up in Colombia, you would read about him. Anyway, I forget his name. So the Cubans fought, the way the Viet Cong fought, the way the Indians fought on the, in North America, the way the Confederate guerrillas fought in Kansas and Missouri and Kentucky, the whiskey rebellers, the Appalachians, and I know a lot of people in West Virginia, a lot of Appalachians. Those are some, when push comes to shove, man, they will fucking cut your goddamn tongue out. It's a bit backwoodsy, but in a fight, they're good people to have. I'll tell you that right now. They don't give a shit either. They're just a bit kind of hillbilly, but they're mountain men. They call them mountain men. It's really West Virginia is really two different countries. You have West Virginia and then you have Appalachia. And Appalachia is where all the mountain people live up. They got their own laws, their own court system, which is, oh, you're guilty, bang. And they do it too. And the West Virginia government kind of just says, okay, we're going to let them do this because if we go after them, we're going to lose 500 people. 500 cops are going to be killed trying to subdue it. So, they let them do their thing. It's a real thing. If anybody wants actually to a good history lesson, watch the movies, The Molly Maguires, starring Sean Connery. That's a great lone wolf movie. And Mate One. In fact, I watched Mate One a couple of days ago. Mate One, that's another great movie. Both take place in West Virginia. Both are based on true stories. And although The Molly Maguires are more about Irish immigrants, but the Mate One is about people that actually grew up in West Virginia, 3, 5, 10 generations. And there's one or two scenes where you got the Appalachians coming out of the mountain, not because they want to help the city folk, or, well, in West Virginia, city folk could mean somebody who lives in a small town. Listen, I love West Virginia, I really do. And but they come out, it's you know, you got these Pinkerton faggots, and they are outsiders, and of course, you know, the mountain men show up, and they got their shotguns, and one guy's got a rifle from the Secessionary War, and you know, they just come out of the woodwork, and all of a sudden, and the Pinkertons like, oh shit, we got to get out of here. And it's so funny, they're like, well, if see, you're having trouble with the law, but if you see pigs and hogs, those are ours, so you best leave them be. But everything else out there, you can hunt just as free as we. And then they just take off. It's just really great. Anyone who hasn't been to West Virginia is a great place. I actually want to build a compound. That sounds like a cliche, but I actually do want to build a religious community in West Virginia, specifically for our church. And I want to make this absolutely clear. Oh, shit, I forgot. Check us out online at churchofbenclausen.org, churchofbenclausen.org, and creativityreligion.com. Sorry about that. But I do want to see people building their own churches and creating their own small communities. I don't mean something very large, you know, like they tried to do in, what, North Dakota and Idaho. I'm talking about just a small community where you might have a few homesteads, you know, back-to-back, you know, in adjoining lots and whatnot, or on, you know, acreage, you know, where one guy might have 100 acres, the other guy might have 300 acres, the other guy might have a 20-acre plot, whatever, but all kind of in the same vicinity just to help each other out and help raise children together. The Church of Ben Clausen is not a single church. Remember that. And this kind of goes along with lone wolfing it too. I set things up the way that the Mormon Church is set up. And I've done this since 2003, when we broke off from what then became the TCM, is that I am now, while I am the head of the church, and we do have we do have a church council, which is actually made up of people that some of them I've known for 20, 30 years. Excuse me. Other people I've only known for, say, 15 or 10 or even just 5 years. But we do have, I am the leader, we do have a church council, we do run the Church of Ben Clausen, but each congregation is semi-independent, and the primary groups are completely independent of us, outside of having to follow fatwas and religious rulings like that, obviously having to follow the creed and the 16 commandments, but each primary group is its own thing. And the idea is that each primary group eventually becomes its own congregation, becomes big enough, and then becomes its own church. I want to see 1,000 Church of Ben Clausens, none of them having to do with me at all, each one with their own Pontifex Maximus. That's what I want to see, because then the religion gets spread throughout the masses and the system can't stop it. Anyway, getting back into lone wolf, and of course, this system is really good for lone wolf. And another thing is that when somebody is a lone wolf, do not claim to be a member of an organization. Although granted, our church is laid out as a regular church. Obviously, I can't be held responsible for what some idiot does. You know, some guy goes and kills a few niggers. I mean, obviously, no one's going to care about that anyway. Even the cops that investigate don't really give a shit. But, you know, if he does, you know, obviously, I mean, he could have our flag tacked on the wall and he could have a tattoo of my face on his chest. But obviously, we can't be held responsible. And that's another reason that people need to embrace lone wolf. As long as you're acting alone, and I do mean alone, then, you know, you can't get anybody else into trouble, and you won't get into trouble, too. I did a lot of lone wolf stuff. You have to understand is that prior to 2001, no one actually heard, very few people had heard of me. So people in the movement in various countries on a personal basis, on a one-on-one basis, had heard of me. I'd been in contact, as I said, with people all over the world since, I became racially conscious when I was 8 years old, but I started physical activism, lone wolf stuff, as well as street activism, and both legal and illegal, back when I was like 15. Of course, statute of limitation is up on everything, so fuck you. system out there. Anyway, but long story short is I was doing a ton of stuff before my kidnapping in 2004. In fact, there's only probably two newspaper articles that were talking about me between 2001 and 2004 before that kidnapping. There's probably only two actual newspaper articles, maybe half a dozen over a three-year period, which I can't even find them online now. I don't even know how that's possible. That stuff disappears from the internet. But and I was mentioned in two or four books on the Twin Towers. They quoted me. There's two or four books where I'm actually quoted in a chapter on. I'm not sure. They're different chapters. They're different books. I think it's just I think one of them was called Extremists Around the World or American Extremists Support the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or some bullshit. Anyway, but there is that quote, but outside of two newspaper articles, because who's really going to read, you know, one of a 5,000 books on the Twin Tower demolitions. But outside of two articles, maybe three, no one really heard of me. So from 2004 on back, I was doing a lot of stuff and I got away with it. And the reason I got away with it, because I didn't work with nobody. Didn't have a cell phone. Go to the library back when you can get online without needing a library card. And then when you had to, I would fake a library number. You know, can't be traced to me, can't be traced back to any person or organization. That's how you do it. I've gotten away with so much shit. I tell you like this, the FBI's head would spin if they knew 1/20th of the shit that I was able to get away with. Of course, luckily for me, obviously, all this stuff happened when I was 8 years old. Therefore, I cannot be tried because nobody in the United States can be tried for a crime if they're under 10. And I was under 10 years old for all those years. Committing all these acts. I just love rubbing it in their face. There's nothing they can do about it. Statute of limitation. Nobody knows what I'm even talking about. I never give any clues or details on anything. I worked alone. That's how you do it. How do you think I got? Dude, look at me. I did 10 years in prison on like these dinky little charges because they can never get me on anything. That's how you do it. Now, that kind of tuned my own horn there. Hold on. Let me take a drink. Got rum and coke. Because nothing says Irish more like rum. I'm sorry. I lived in the Caribbean. What am I supposed to do? I just got used to drinking rum. That's right, all you ARA faggots. I'm from Latin America, bitch. Anyway, why do you think all those mestizos don't give a shit when you put up them flyers about me? Sorry. Actually, I've lived in several different places. I'm tuning my own horn. I'm sorry. I'm kind of being a little funny here, but you know, it's okay. It's a lone wolf stuff is a favorite topic of mine. I love this stuff. And I wish I could see, I want to see more white people. And for those that are anti-communist and the anti-Jew world order that aren't white, I want to see more from you too. Because remember, just because you're not white doesn't mean you can't be anti-Jew and anti-communist. And just because a non-white who is, say, a fascist or a Nazi or a pagan kills somebody who happens to be white but who works for the system, that does not make it anti-white crime. Because a jaw guy doesn't count. I refuse. Well, for me, it's I don't give a fuck about infidels, period. So if you're listening, you better convert. Otherwise, I'm coming for you, bitches. But seriously. I could care less whether an infidel is killed by a non-white or a white. If they're an agent of the system and they're killed by somebody who is anti-system, because there are a lot of non-white fascists and Nazis out there, then I don't have a problem with that. I don't. Let's see. Obviously, I'm not going to race mix or, you know, live with somebody who isn't white, but you know, if they're going to attack the Jews and the communists just as we are doing, then we should be working together for global racial separation. Because that's the end goal of creativity and Nazism, whether white Nazism or non-white Nazism. That's the goal is racial separation, is give every race its own country and every religious group its own country so that they can have their own destiny. I mean, control their own destiny, have their culture, live in their culture, stay in their culture, That's the way it should be. Every race should have its own country. This is ridiculous that, you know, you got these rich libtards and conservative Zionists who are nothing but Shabbos Goy stooges that want to mix everybody together for a giant slave population. And trust me, there's no difference between right-wingers and left-wingers. It's the same shit. It's left-wingers want to enslave everybody through Marxism. Right-wingers want to enslave everybody through capitalism. There's no fucking difference between them. Why do you think we call ourselves racial socialists? Because we're anti-communist and anti-capitalist at the same time. Now we're anti-cap. We're not anti-free enterprise. I want to make that absolutely clear. We're not anti-free enterprise. We're anti-runaway capitalism. We basically believe, somewhat similar, I guess, you could say more of a libertarian version of what the fascists believe in. We believe in controlled free enterprise. So free enterprise with some shackles placed upon large corporations, you know, to make sure that no company can just fuck over the working class or fuck over the white race. But outside of that, there's no problem with somebody starting up their own mom and pop business, somebody owning their own home or farmstead, you know, somebody selling trinkets on the side of the road, or even starting a large company. There's nothing wrong with that. But race should come first, not money. Sorry, getting off topic here, but I think that's important to say. So anyway, back to lone wolf stuff. So let's get serious instead of me just kind of tooting my own horn and running around saying, oh, I was doing all this stuff. Which, of course, is not illegal for me to say. That's another thing. I get a lot of emails from people in Canada, England, France, and Germany, specifically in Canada and Germany, who are like, and England too, that are like, you know, you're kind of cavalier about your you know, the stuff you know, all this illegal shit you used to do, and you constantly throw down hints that maybe there's a few more people you killed. And, well, it's not illegal in America to talk like that. It's not illegal to actually admit to committing a crime as long as you're not specific about it. Like, for instance, I steal from infidels all the time. Now, that's not illegal to say because I have free speech. I'm allowed to say that I steal from infidels all the time. I steal from Jogites every day. Well, maybe not every day. But I steal from Jogites every week. Corporations are Jogites. Infidels are Jogites. Jews are Jogites. Liberals are Jogites. Conservatives are Jogites. Monotheist insaners are Jogites. These are all the enemy. And stealing from them, because they are infidels, is nothing wrong with that. I've never stolen from a mom and pop business. I've never stolen from a white person who is racially conscious. And in fact, I've never even stolen from a non-white who openly hated Jews and communism, which is kind of rare. Actually, it's not as rare today as it used to be. Back in the 90s, that was kind of rare. But today, it's surprisingly, in fact, it's really bizarre. I need to digress, but hold on. It's really bizarre. More and more non-white people seem to be agreeing with my message and with creativity. You know, racial separation, Jews need to be exterminated, communism needs to be exterminated, Palestine needs to be liberated, Ireland needs to be fully liberated. There's so many non-whites that are agreeing with this. And then you have all these rich and upper middle class white libtards and conservatives that are just like constantly going the exact opposite direction. Although a lot of right wingers, though, kind of either have kind of started to go over to a more white racial loyalist and third position belief system, or are trying to tap into that for power purposes, than it used to be back in the 20th century. You know, conservatives wouldn't give us the time of day. And even in the 2010s, they wouldn't. But, you know, ever since Obama monkey fucked everything up and the Jews have been, you know, have everything on full tilt now, it's more and more of them are saying, well, if we don't support these fucking Nazis and skinheads, then we're going to get fucked over by the Jews, whom we always were in bed with before. But it seems like they're just going to fuck everything up anyway. I digress. So let's get back to the lone wolf shit. So once again, though, it's not illegal to talk about, you know, this stuff, or even to hint that you've done stuff, or even to say that you're doing illegal stuff, as long as you're not specific about it, because you can't be arrested for simply saying, oh, yeah, I steal from infidels. That's a general statement, which is freedom of speech. People in Canada, I get these emails all the time, especially from people in Canada, but also from like Germany and England. They're like, well, you know, I mean, you're basically admitting of felonies. And yeah, well, we have freedom of speech in this country. It's like the right to own black powder. I'm an ex-con, right? Even though technically the state and the federal charge that I did 10 years for are actually misdemeanors. Legally on the federal level, I'm barred from owning, say, a Glock or a, well, legally, I mean, yeah, there's the black market. And that's all I'm going to say on that shit. I'm not going to keep any of that in my home if I was going to buy any. You know, I'm not stupid. You learn some stuff from going to prison. But, black powder in the United States is 100% legal. In fact, you don't even really need to be a citizen. But listen, anybody can go online, buy black powder, go into a store and buy black powder. It doesn't matter. You could have 20 or 50 fucking hardcore felonies. It's guaranteed a right under the Second Amendment. Every citizen has the right to black powder because every citizen has the right to arm themselves with a firearm. And since the only stipulation is it can't be a modern day firearm style, you know, like with a bullet, you know, an encased bullet, it can't be that unless the gun itself is manufactured prior to 1900. If it came out during the Spanish-American War or before that, then you can own a gun that shoots actual cartridges. Those guns, though, are very expensive. But anybody can buy black powder. Now, Montana does not recognize federal firearms law, so if I moved to Montana, I could go into a store and buy a Glock if I wanted to, or a Smith & Wesson or Walter PPK, you know, Bursa. You know, it doesn't matter. And somebody told me that Wyoming is the same way. But Montana, it doesn't matter. You can, you know, you just go to Montana. And there's a lot of gun owners, there's a lot of gun sellers, legal gun sellers that are sympathetic to our cause. Not necessarily because they're racial loyalists, it's just because they know that we're fighting back against the chaos and tyranny of the Jews and what the Jews have created. So there is that too. And there's the black market, which, you know, doesn't give a fuck who you are or where you live. That's a different conversation, though. That's the black market. That exists everywhere. But legally, you can own black powder. There's only one state that regulates that. Is you cannot be convicted of a felony in Georgia and own black powder unless you're on federal land. Wait, you know, but I mean, I don't know how that works. What are you supposed to, like have it flown over to you, like with a drone or something while you're camping on federal land? I don't understand that. But that's the only state that regulates it. And there are challenges to that. So that law is probably going to be overturned on the grounds that it does violate the Constitution, both state and federal. Now, PA is like Texas. I think PA is a little bit more pro-weapon than even Texas is. It's amazing. Now, West Virginia is like real pro-weapon. In fact, fucking cops in West Virginia don't give a fuck really about anything. As long as you're not burning down shit or killing locals, they really could care less. Another reason why more white people should move there. But PA is one of those places that has very few weapons laws. In fact, it's amazing. You could actually open carry without a license in PA for probably 20 or 25 years before you could down here in Texas. And I thought that was weird. Last year, they just passed a law that you could, like, open carry. I was like, wait, didn't you just have that? I was like, what? I read that. I saw it on TV. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Are you telling me that PA with fucking Tom Dickhead Wolf as the fucking governor had this shit for like 20 years before Texas? Anyway, I'm way off topic, I guess. Well, sort of. But yeah, black powder is always, excuse me, black powder is always a good thing. You legally, anybody can own it. Anybody can carry it anywhere. In fact, I don't even think you need a license. I think there's very few states that actually require a license if you want to carry black powder concealed. But pretty much in 49 places, in 45 states, there's zero regulation. Probably only in one state, really, that I know that I can speak on truthfully, where there's any regulation on black powder. And as I said, Montana doesn't recognize federal firearms laws anyway. So, I mean, who the fuck wants it? I mean, not everybody's going to immigrate to Montana. So, anyway, that's kind of off topic. Getting back to the IRA and the tactics of terrorism, you know, the IRA won 3/4 independence for Ireland through terrorism. The Viet Cong won the Vietnam War through terrorism. Now, somebody could say, well, the Jews and the race traders in the United States, you know, kind of hamstrung the American military. That's true, too. But even if the United States had gone in full circle, unless they were going to sterilize the population, there's really no way to fight them. I mean, we've seen this. How many world powers have tried to take over Afghani land, right? and we haven't been able to do it. The French were there, then the British were there, then the Soviets were there, then the United States was there. Nobody has conquered it because it's just it's a nation. I don't know how many people live there, 100 million? I don't know, that's just a guess, but let's just say that. Let's make it a nice round number. 100, you got 100 million people running around. Half, you know, 90% of them own a gun, own a machine gun. I mean, a full-blown machine gun. And, you know, like 80% of them own horses. And they're just running around the country, this large-ass country, with lots of hills and caves and valleys and mountain ranges. And they're just running around, they're just, you know, using terrorism as a general tactic. And it works. You know, for hundreds of years, you've had all the major powers try to conquer Afghaniland. I mean, India tried to do it. Pakistan tried to do it. The Soviet Union tried to. China, Persia, if we want to go back that far. You know, and you had England and France were in there, I think, each for like 100 years apiece. And nobody could fucking conquer it because terrorism tactics work. And another thing, another important thing is that the population needs to be in general support of violent overthrow or overthrow of any kind of the tyranny that's hanging over them. And this is what we need to be seeing from white people. We're not seeing this from white people. When we look at Ireland, Ireland has been oppressed by the English. And I'm still counting it today as being oppressed. I'm tacking on an extra 100 years because of Northern Ireland, which I believe belongs to Ireland. The English have no business being in there. I don't want to hear any of that bullshit. Fuck you. Get the fuck out of there. Remember, I'm in America. We support Ireland. You know, it's, you know, not the Irish have faced 900 years of oppression from the English, 900 years. And the people there support, even if they don't believe in terrorism themselves, even if they're opposed to violence on general principle, they still will aid those that commit violence because they know that they're fighting back against the tyranny of 900 years. Look at white people in general. Now, if you believe, as I do, in the writings of Graham Hancock and some of the ancient Aryan essays that I've written, you'll know that white people have basically been persecuted for the last 12,500 years, ever since our great downfall that happened in 10,450 BCE. Some people might say that's a bit of a stretch because we weren't always being persecuted during that time, but I would say we were. So let's look at something more recently. White people have been terrorized by the Jews for the last 3,000 or 3,500 years. Is that enough? Oh, shit, that's, I mean, I think the Bolshevik Revolution alone is proof enough that every Jew needs to be exterminated. But let's look at the last 3,000 or 3,500 years, you know, as even more proof that Jews need to be wiped out. We have faced tyranny from the Jews for 3,000 plus years. Every white person should be acting like the whites of Ireland did back in the 19 teens and 20s. You know, even in the 70s and 80s, you know, when the IRA would do something or a lone wolf would do something, people in the neighborhood would try to help that person. They'd hide them out. There's a good movie, In the Name of the Father. It's a real great movie. It's a true story. It talks about this one family being oppressed, you know, by the English faggots. I hate the English. It's hard to tell. Do I hate gringos, limeys, or kikes more? It's really hard to tell. Sometimes I hate English more than I hate Jews. Sometimes I hate Americans more than I hate Jews. It just depends on the type of tyranny that those three races are committing that week. But what we have in the name of the Father is we have this family that's being persecuted. Now, there's this one scene in the beginning where I'm not sure if there was a firefight prior or if it was a full mistake, but these two guys, I think it was two friends, not two brothers, but Daniel Day-Lewis plays the main guy. Anyway, so they're mistaken for IRA. They're not. They're Irish, but they're not IRA. They're just some guys that were, you know, right place, wrong time. And what happened was, and by the way, that's the correct usage of that phrase. What happens is that, you know, the English army then tries to hunt them down, you know, and then everybody in the whole city comes out to try to help them just because they're two Irish guys being chased by limeys. And that's the way it should be everywhere. It's like me, like whenever I think this has only happened probably once, but if I'm walking down the street And I see somebody running away from the cops. In fact, at this point, I really could care less what race they are. But if I see somebody running away from the cops and the cops come at me, I'm going to tell them to go a different direction. I'm going to say, oh, I saw him go that way. And he had on like a red hoodie when the guy had on like a black shirt. And, you know, I'm willing to do that, to actually give the cops either no information, say, fuck you, get out of my face, or to give them faulty information so that a guy running away can get away. That's the way it should always be. We should always be there to help somebody. Here's another good example. This happened probably, I think, 15 years ago, I guess. This was Western PA. There was a guy that was on the run from the cops, a white kid, actually. He was a white kid in his teens or maybe early 20s. He was on the run. I forget what the crime was, but this was in Western PA. He was on the run from the cops, both locals and stateies. And people were cheering him on. In fact, one family printed up and sold T-shirts that said, run, I forget the guy's name. I'll just say John. Run, John, run. Or keep on running, John. And it was so funny. The cops went online and be like, listen, people have the freedom of speech to give this man verbal support. But if we find out you're helping him physically, you know, you'll be arrested. And nobody gave a shit. You know, I think the kid eventually got caught only because he went out during the day or some shit. But he actually had been helped by several people. Some of them hadn't even known him. And that's what we should be seeing all the time. We should be seeing this all the time. We should be seeing more lone wolves. A good lone wolf, you know, makes a strike and makes it look like it's not a strike. You know, and there's a lot of good ways for this. Here's some examples. This is not going to be just a full-blown tactical episode. I'm just going to go probably on for another 15 minutes. But let me run down a couple of good tricks. One is dressing up as a bum, you know, or a homeless guy on the street. You know, everybody ignores them, especially cops. You know, nobody wants to look at them. Nobody wants to think about them. That's a good way. You know, what you do is you got the gun in the palm of your hand. Maybe you smeared some shit on a used overcoat you bought at a secondhand store. You're there. You haven't shaved for a few weeks. You're there. You're waiting for the rabbi to come down the street. You know, everyone thinks you're just some fucking drunk bum or junkie just lying there sleeping. Boom, you jump up, shoot him in the fucking left eye. Boom. There you go. That's a good tactic. Another one is to actually go online or go to one of those uniform stores and actually recreate a cop uniform. And it's funny, you can actually buy badges online. I almost did this. I was actually going to do this, but then I was like, I'm not going to waste $20. But for $20, you can actually on Amazon get a wallet that comes with an actual like detective looking badge now the badge itself looks like an actual police badge, but on it, it says conceal carry license. It says conceal carry, then underneath the central insignia, it says license. And you're supposed to use that, you know, it's a gimmick for, you know, if the cops ask you for your you know, do you have a carry permit for your gun? But you could use it because most people don't actually look at the badge. Now, I do, but that's just me. But what you could do is you could flip it real quick and people would think it's an actual badge. I almost bought one because I was going to do some lone wolf stuff with it. But I'm like, I'm not going to waste $20. I mean, it's cheaper just to sneak up behind somebody and whack them in the back of the head with a hammer that you know, steal from Walmart and then you throw that into the river and, boom, one less nigger and, you know, there's no evidence. That's another good trick right there. That's another thing. A lot of people think like you need a gun or you need to use a gun to kill somebody. And that's stupid. You can create your own silencers. That's true. But the problem with guns is it leaves residue. It makes noise. It makes a flash if you're doing it at night. You know, even, you know, not all silencers actually are like the movies, you know, where you don't hear anything. You know, sometimes most silencers are really, it's just a muffled gunshot. You still hear it. It almost sounds like one of those 22 subsonics. I've used those in the past for target shooting. It sounds like a lady finger going off, but you can still fucking hear it, you know, but that's what a lot of them sound like. It just slows the bullet. Basically a silencer just slows the bullet down below the speed of sound. And so the sound comes, you still hear the explosion going off of the gunpowder that propels the damn thing. You're just not hearing the sound barrier being broke. So, you know, they're not all like the movies, you know, where you just go pew, 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 you know, and nobody knows what the fuck's going on. But I think it's a lot easier to use a bludgeon or a blade that you can just grab from any Walmart. You can pay in cash or steal it. Use that. There's no way to trace it. You know, just make sure to, if you ever see, there's a good movie to watch. It's called The Town. It stars that idiot Ben Affleck, but it's really great because it shows how they get ready for a robbery. What they do is they take ammonia. It's either ammonia or bleach. I think it would be ammonia. I would use ammonia. I mean, I'm saying that if I did something like this, I would use ammonia. But anyway, what they do is they rub down the bullets and the clips. They put on gloves. They rub them all down with ammonia to kill off any DNA and whatnot and get rid of fingerprints, do all that. Then they take a shower the morning of, and they use a hard, not a Brillo brush. They use, what do you use it for? Calluses. It's a coral, one of those coral brushes. And they, or at least that's what it looks like. Maybe they use just a hard brush too. But what they do is they go over their skin over and over again. You know, they get rid of all the excess hairs on themselves. They get rid of, you know, the dead skin follicles. They scrub themselves raw so that the body doesn't, you know, so that's less DNA evidence. And then what they do is they dress themselves up, and then they tie around their ankles and their wrists. They tuck the shirt in and they tie off around the other end so that any loose piece of DNA won't fall out and touch the floor. And then what they do is after they rob the bank, they pour ammonia or bleach over the area. I think it's probably a bleach that they use in the movie, but you can use either bleach or ammonia. And then they pour it over everything that they go near so it kills all the DNA. That's a good way of doing it. A great way to do would be go get a hammer or a screwdriver or a steak knife from Walmart. And then what you do is come up behind a couple of niggers, you know, maybe mace them in the face. Then you bash their brains in, pour bleach all over the scene, and then take off and throw everything in the river and burn the clothes you have on. That includes the fucking shoes you're wearing. I remember there's this one lone wolf skinhead. I'm not going to mention his name, but let's just say that he should have got rid of his boots. He didn't want to get rid of the boots, and he got fucked over. I didn't know him personally, but... anyway, you know, so, you know, there's a lot of these little tricks. Now, as I said, this is not going to be just a pure lone wolf episode. You know, we're going into some creativity stuff as well as just general history on revolutionary tactics and all that. So let's go into some movies now. If you want to make a homemade silencer, you could carry a pillowcase, I guess. That will help muffle it. This is a kind of a goofy trick, and you can get splinters that come back. You can get splinters from the plastic, but you can take a 1 or 2 liter or 3 liter pop bottle, and then what you do is you cut it off. You put the tape. You put the gun in there, and because you have to use duct tape on this, I would use a revolver. In fact, you should always use a revolver for a hit anyway, because that way you don't have to pick up your brass. But what you do is you duct tape the barrel. Inside that little hole, and you might have to cut a little bit to make it a little bit bigger, and then that way the air inside the pop bottle, I forget the verbiage, but it helps to muffle the sound. Of course, you know, fire once, boom, blows the thing out, and that does kind of send shards out, so you got to be careful with that, because you obviously don't want to get cut and then have like a piece of the same plastic if they find it later, you know, or if they find plastic on the corpse, you know, and then match it up with you. And always remember that it's not like CSI or NCIS. It's not like the shit in TV and movies where, you know, they measured the length of a stab wound, and all of a sudden they know what blade it was, what store it was bought at, and if somebody used a credit card. That's fake. It's bullshit. It doesn't work that way. Now, they can obviously test for things. That's why you want to make sure you don't leave DNA if you're in the system, or even if you're not. But you don't want to leave DNA. You don't want to leave fingerprints. You don't want to leave brass, which is why you should always use a non-gun or a revolver, so that they can't match anything up later. And if you are going to use a gun and use it as a throwaway, make sure to stick like a ramrod or something inside of it to mark up the, to create some extra grooves inside the barrel, so that if they do find it, it won't match the ballistics. So at the very least, they don't have an actual weapon to go along with it. Anyway, that's just basic tactic shit. But as far as movies, Viva Zapata, that's a good revolutionary movie. Yeah, I know it's Mexico. I don't give a shit. Viva Zapata is a good movie starring Marlon Brando, The Molly Maguires, which takes place in West Virginia, Mate One, which takes place in West Virginia. Great working class, white working class movies, by the way. Let's see. The Outlaw Josie Wales. That's a good Clint Eastwood movie. That's based. That's another form of guerrilla fighting we should be utilizing. What else? Romper Stomper. I guess that's good. You know, it's a group of skinheads. They're not really attached to living in any one place or any one. Having large possessions. So, you know, when they lose their place, they just keep going on. I mean, it's not the full movie, but you know what I mean. That's kind of a goodish movie. Also, it's the only skinhead movie where it's not really political. It's just kind of like skinheads being skinheads. The Day of the Jackal. That's a good one. That's about the real life attempt on Charles de Gaulle, who was a race trading piece of shit. Day of the Jackal. That's a good one. I'm talking about the one from the 70s. I'm not talking about the remake with Bruce Willis. Which I actually haven't seen the whole movie, but yeah, Day of the Jackal, that's a good one. And oh, They Live, that's a good that's a great example of how we should be fighting back against the Jews and the Jaugites is the movie They Live with Rowdy Roddy Piper. That's one of my favorite movies. It's from the 80s, so enough said, from the 80s, right? That's, you should watch it anyway. But it's a great movie that, and basically the movie is what the Jews are doing. I mean, in the movie, there are space aliens that are using some type of jamming, you know, some type of signal technology to make themselves look human and to set out propaganda, whereas the Jews just kind of put everything in your face. But yeah, it's basically an allegory for what the Jews are doing and the jog and the system and the jogites. And you have race traders that are helping the system, all for money, of course, or personal gain. Called They Live. That's a really good movie, but that's the way we should be fighting. Michael Collins is one of my favorite movies. Once again, about Michael Collins, starring Liam Neeson, one of my favorite actors. And once again, that's the way we should be fighting. That's the IRA right there. You know, I saw that movie as a kid. I was like, yeah, that's right. Fucking kill the English. Yeah, fuck them. And, growing up over here in the Americas, you know, you just kind of get filled with the whole 1776 vibe. So anytime you see the English getting it stuck to them, you always cheer for it. That's just a quick little rundown about why we should be, you know, violent, why we should be lone wolves, why terrorism is a general tactic of revolution and liberty and freedom. And hopefully our people can start emulating, you know, like the IRA in the 20s or the movie They Live or, you know, Matewan and the Molly Maguires where, you know, or In the Name of the Father, where local people who necessarily didn't believe in violence would help somebody who was on the run from the system. We have occasionally, wasn't Eric Rudolph being helped by people? There was that kid, as I mentioned, in Western/Central PA. You know, and so there are cases where people are helped, you know, against the system. But we have to remember is that the system is not there to protect us. We protect ourselves. We protect each other. The system is not there for that. Cops are not your friend. I don't care how white the motherfuckers. I don't care how much they hate niggers. Everybody hates niggers. So just because a guy is you have a cop who happens to be white and who hates black people, that doesn't mean anything. You have to be racially conscious. There is a difference. Why do you think I refer to us as white racial loyalists? It's because we believe in a spiritual philosophy of being loyal to our race and of racialism. Remember, we are racists. We are not nationalists. You know, these cops, they're either systemites, they're right-wingers or left-wingers. They believe in making money, or they don't want to see chaos for personal reasons or because they've been brainwashed and they think them doing their job helps to keep society functioning and moving forward. That's not true at all. The cops are the frontline troops of the system. That's why they need to be targeted too. I've said this before in the past. I'll say it again: is when we target the cops and their immediate families, which will then frighten people off from wanting to be cops. When we do that, the system will have no choice but to eventually bring in troops to try to force martial law on people. And troops can only do that for so long before they start saying, hey, this isn't morally right. Hey, I took an oath to fight for this country to defend the Constitution, not to oppress the Constitution. And eventually that will lead to civil war within the military. And then that's when we can come out of the woodwork and truly overthrow the Jews and their Shabbos Goy stooges. So killing cops forces the system to bring in the troops, which then leads to civil war within the system itself. Anyway, hopefully people understand what I've been talking about for the past hour, and I hope to see people emulating movies such as Michael Collins and Viva Zapata and the Molly Maguires and They Live. I want to see people emulating the IRA and the Viet Cong and even the Bolsheviks. Look at the bloody Jewish Bolsheviks. The tactic they used worked. They took out the largest empire the world has ever known. Fucking Russia, the Russian Empire, the largest country, even today, when you don't count away the breakaway provinces, as I call them, you know, those fake Soviet so-called republics, which obviously were not republics. But even if you don't count those breakaways, it's still the largest, richest country on this planet. And the Jewish Bolsheviks were able to overthrow that with just a handful of people. Because you have to remember, while people didn't like the Tsar, they certainly didn't like the Reds. The Reds had very, very few supporters amongst the actual white Russians that lived in Russia, Belarusia, Ukraine at the time. Very few. Very, very few. It was international Jewry that was able to keep the Bolshevik Revolution going, and their Shabbos Goy stooges in the West that kept the West from aiding the whites and the actual citizens of Russia from stopping the Reds. But the Reds almost died out a couple of times during their initial beginnings. It's very few people supported them. Very, very few. Anyway, I don't want to get off on something different, but long story short is terrorism as a general tactic of revolution and freedom work. And the bloody Bolsheviks were able to terrorize using a minority population to control a nation of 200 million people, which they then went on to kill about 150 million. Was it 150 million in Russia itself, including the breakaway provinces, or was it 100 million, including also Eastern Europe? Because I'm not counting World War II figures either in with that. It was either 150 million in Russia and then like another 50 million in Central and Eastern Europe that they butchered. It was 150 to 200 million people that the Jews butchered of white people in the greater Soviet Union and Eastern and Central Europe. And Red China has probably killed at least 100 million people over the decades, so who knows. But terrorism as a general tactic works. And the IRA, which we celebrated yesterday, you know, this is America, remember that. It shows us the way. And it's important, it's incumbent of every one of you that when you see somebody on the run from the system that you should support that person. You should. I'm not saying you need to do it physically, just as I'm not telling everybody, you out there, that everybody has to be a lone wolf and go out and kill or blow something up. No, there's lots of different ways you can fight, you know, for the cause. You can be a propagandist like what I do. You can be a lone wolf like Robert Matthews or David Lane. You can, you know, there's different things. You could be a politician like David Duke or an historian like David Irving. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be Mr. Badass. You don't have to be Sylvester Stallone running down the street like in Cobra, shooting, you know, taking out 100 guys with, you know, one clip and a submachine gun. You don't have to be that. You don't have to be that. It could be something simple like, you know, finding a spouse who's racially conscious or convincing them to become racially conscious and raising a family of 4, 6, 8, or 10 racially conscious, homeschooling them, doing things like that. It could be recruiting people to become racially conscious. It could be propaganda like what I do. It could be starting maybe a local skinhead group, you know, to protect the white neighborhood, you know, from niggers and spicks. There's lots of things that you can do it don't have to be Mr. Badass with a sawed-off shotgun and a pipe bomb. There's lots of other things you can do. You know, and when you do see somebody on the run or hear about it, then you need to support them. At the very least, we need to support them when we're talking with other people about it, vocally support them, and in some cases, certain cases, physically support them as well. And that's very important, because that's how Ireland won its freedom in the 1920s, was through both of those, was through using terrorism as a general tactic, and the general population, by and large, helping them out. You know, we need to help to convince our fellow white brothers and sisters out there that aren't racially conscious, that they need to be, because they are facing oppression. They have been facing oppression. You know, we have 3,000 years of oppression, 3,500 years of oppression by the Jews. I mean, why do you think white Egypt fell in 1075 BCE? It's because the Jews helped promote race mixing, which brought about the downfall of that great white civilization. How do you think Rome fell? The Jews spread Christ insanity throughout the empire, and that great white civilization died. And then we had, what, 1,200, 1,400, 1,500 years of darkness? Remember, the Dark Ages wasn't 1,000 years, folks. That was more like 1,200, 1,400 years of just absolute tyranny and superstition. Thankfully, we have creativity, which gives us the moral and the mental strength to recognize these oppressions and to fight back against them, not, you know, superstition with other superstition, like what you have with Christian identity or with Odinism. Sorry, Wayne. But, you know, it helps us to fight back with truth and knowledge and science and just common sense and logic. In fact, common sense and logic is something, I think that's creativity is founded more upon common sense and logic than science. Granted, you know, science proves everything that we say to be correct, but I think nature doesn't want people to be, nature isn't looking for everybody to be scholarly and to be book smart and to be scientific. Nature wants her creations to be logical, and to act with common sense in mind. That's what nature wants. Nature has designed all creatures in the universe over a 15 billion year period that your instincts, your common sense, basic logic, that everything from a baby to a house cat to a fucking fly has embedded in their DNA. That's what nature wants. Nature wants us to have common sense and logic, and creativity is founded upon those principles. And if we can utilize a little bit more terror, if we can utilize a little more extremism, then together we will definitely be able to win this racial holy war. I want to thank you for joining with me. Please check us out online at churchofbenclawson.org and creativityreligion.com. We are going through a big time sale right now. We have actual creativity flags for sale, as well as some other very unique items. I've got National Alliance ball cap. This was manufactured by the National Alliance, designed by Robert Matthews himself. I've got this. This is a great piece of 80s Americana, but I'm willing to depart with that if need be to raise more money for our endeavors over this year. We got a spring flyer drive going to pop off next month, over the next 3 months. So if you do want to order anything, whether it's the standard books and the new flag, you know, the creativity logo flag, the actual one. If you want to make those orders, you better do that quick, because after the 1st of April, we're just going to be taking digital orders, and because we're going to be very busy. And it's not just with the spring flyer drive either, which is going to be, that's going to be our main focus for the next 3 months, as well as working on the newsletter. That's something else. I want to mention this. I am dedicated to getting a free online newsletter for people to download. And once again, we're taking submissions for that, but this will be quarterly because, you know, we are very busy. And we're going to be working on that, plus the spring flyer drive. And there's some other things. I'm going to try to put together a speaking tour of the Southwest and of the Northeast, and possibly the Northwest. And I'm including Utah in the Southwest. So we've got a lot of things planned for this year. As I say, we're trying to raise some more money, or if you just want to buy, you know, basic creativity items like the holy books or maybe a patch or a pin or whatnot. Anyway, we got all that. I just thought I'd throw that out there because there is a timeline. There's just a couple more weeks left, and then it's just going to be digital orders. The P.O. box will remain open, but we're only going to check it like once a month. The church secretary will go down there about once a month, probably not even check it during the first few weeks of April. She'll probably wait till May, but we're going to be very busy. I'll probably check it on the 1st of April, or maybe she will. And then it's really going to be like another month, but we're going to be very, very busy. So I'm putting that out there that if you do want to order anything, I'd order now, or, you know, just do it through online payment. Anyway, probably should have thrown that off a little bit more towards the beginning, but I probably should also say this. While it is not illegal, any of the things I have said, because it's not illegal to promote terrorism in the United States, it's covered under free speech, as long as you, not being specific, and trust me, I definitely making sure that I'm staying legal since getting out and off probation. But listen, not everybody's cut out to be a lone wolf. I want to reiterate that. Because a lot of people will hear me and they're like, oh, I got to go out and do something. Or they'll read about Bob Matthews or David Lane and they're like, oh, I got to go out and do something. And I've said this over for the last 30 years. Your talents dictate your activism in the movement. Your activism for the cause, whether you're a creator or just a regular white racial loyalist, your talent dictates your involvement for our inevitable victory. I want to reiterate that. Not everybody is a Bob Matthews. Not everybody is a David Lane. Not everybody is a scholar. You know, not everybody is a lone wolf. Not everybody is an engineer and great with pipe bombs or, you know, a chemist and great with chemical weapons. Not everybody's like that. I mean, I almost killed myself one time because I was trying different concoctions. So listen, just, you know, What you got to do is, look, if you're good at street activism or debates or writing, or you're really good at being, say, a mother or a father and raising children to be racially conscious and homeschooling them and taking care of them and teaching them, you know, teaching your boys what it's like, what, you know, what it really means to be a man, or teaching your girls what it's like to truly be a woman, then you do that. Not everybody has to be the order. Not everybody has to be, you know, the clan of you know, the 19th century, even though we're anti-clan. But I'm just saying, you don't have to be violent, you know. And not everybody is George Lincoln Rockwell. Not everybody is me. Not everybody is William Pierce. Not everybody is Ben Clausen. Not everybody is, you know, designed to just sit there and write a lot of propaganda and go out and debate people, too. You know, whatever your talent is, that's your involvement. I mean, not everybody in Ireland was in the IRA, you know. Not all the farmers, you know, took up a rifle during the Whiskey Rebellion. So, you know, it's whatever your talents are, that's what dictates your activism, your involvement. So, you know, just think before you act. Don't, you know, go off half-cocked. Don't get drunk and go to a bar and beat up a nigger, because then you're going to go to prison for 5 years on a hate crime for something retarded. No, don't do that. And by the way, if you ever are put in that position where you know you're going to go to prison, you might as well go all out, because if you got to do the time, don't regret the crime. You know what I mean? Anyway, so just remember, folks, if we do utilize our talents as white people, if we do embrace creativity, which is the bedrock of our DNA as white people, then we will definitely together, as well as individual lone wolves, we will be able to win this racial holy war. Rahoa.